those die-hard Star Wars of Luke Skywalker, and also visit replicas of Luke Skywalker's home planet. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio. Today is July 31st, 2011. This show is dedicated to the 30 Americans killed in Afghanistan, 22 of whom were members of SEAL Team 6. So we just wanted to say something about that tragedy, and our hearts go out to their families and friends. My name is Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio with Chandler. How you doing tonight, Chandler?
Very well. How are you?
You know, the fun never stops, as always.
Always, yeah.
It just goes on and on and on. This is KCNR Free Fire Radio 1460. You can go to the chat room. It's open at kcnr1460.com. And our phone number, you can call in at 530-605-4567. Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now, so pry your butt up off the couch and educate yourself on the issues. Talk to your neighbors, go to meetings, check out the website, and see what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big, out-of-control government. If you'd like to ask questions or just talk about what's on your mind, please feel free to call in. This is what free speech is all about. We need to debate and find the answers to these hard questions. Remember, the telephone again is 530-605-4567, or go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com. We want to remind everybody that the Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview at Bonneview Baptist Church. It's now a Destiny Fellowship. You know, we're having our Monday night meeting as usual tomorrow. We have our special guest tonight is going to be Fred Kelly Grant, and he's representing Trademark America. My first quote of the evening, and then we'll get to it here, is, "Yes, we did produce a near-perfect republic, but will they keep it, or will they, in the enjoyment of plenty, lose their memory of freedom? Material abundance without character is the path of destruction." Thomas Jefferson. Interesting. So, I wanted to read a letter that I got in the mail from the Campaign for Liberty. This is dated August 5th, 2011. "Dear Patriots, I often think about the predicament our country is in, and every now and then I feel a fury rising up inside of me. This week's debt ceiling deal was a betrayal of the American people on many levels. Do you remember when the grand old party took control of the House just a few short months ago? One of the first bills they passed required a bill to be posted online for three full days before it could be voted on. Congress broke its own three-day rule and had a floor vote on the hastily thrown-together bill the day after it was introduced. But that's the least of it. Never shy to spend our money, the government blew nearly 60% of the immediate debt ceiling increase in just one day after final passage, but that's not what the worst of it was. It created a super Congress appointed by Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, Harry Reid, and Mitch McConnell, all bitterly opposed to everything you and I have been trying to do, to ram future taxing and spending through the Congress. In a shocking procedural in-run around the Constitution, the U.S. Congress will not be permitted to filibuster, amend, or debate the proposals from this super Congress. And even that is not the worst of it. The politicians gave themselves a large line of credit, and the stock market, seeing right through the solution, went sailing downward, the Dow losing a whopping 500 points the very next day. But believe it or not, this is not the worst of it." Hold on just a second here. I think I got a phone call coming in from our guest. Hold on. Let me see if I can catch this here. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, so, but believe it or not, that is not the worst of it. This deal adds $7 trillion to the debt with a budget that will never balance. What does this deal sound like to you? They've heaped mountains of debt on our children, ignored the will of the people, violated their oaths of office. This might be the worst single aspect of this massive taxpayer heist. They sold you down the river. What infuriates me more than anything else is that the Republicans who overwhelmingly supported this deal are now going to go back to their districts and lie to their constituents. They're going to claim they cut spending. Congress was slated to increase spending every year until the economy reached the breaking point. The only cut in this arrangement is a slightly lesser increase in future spending that continues to escalate and never balances. The establishment's talking heads call this a victory for the Tea Party, but don't let them take you for a fool. If the Tea Party members count this as a success, then they are one step away from undermining all the work they've done over the past few years. The Boehner deal has nothing to do more than a bauble to placate the tax party movement into believing that the Republican Party is doing its gosh darn best to turn things around. If only those gosh darn Democrats, you know, didn't have a majority in the Senate. They're flat out lying to you. Except the lesser of two evils or the lesser of two unbalanced budgets. That's what got us into this nightmare in the first place. Republicans claim to have taken our concerns to heart in November, but this deal proves they absolutely positively learned nothing. It's one thing when a liberal tax and spend politician votes for a liberal tax and spend bill. It's quite another when a politician tells you they're fiscally conservative, then lies to your face and sells you down the river. That's exactly what 70% of the Republicans in Washington just did. It's time that they feel the heat, at least as much as you and I feel fear for our children's future and our ability to feed our families. So who sold you down the river and your family? Well, there's a complete list of these guys, and they're not hard to find. It's on the Republicans' Hall of Shame, who voted to bury our families. I mean, I can post them for you guys. You know, we got Wally Herger, Dan Lundgren, Jeff Denham, Elliot Galegi, Howard McKeon, David Dreher, Ed Royce, Jerry Lewis, Gary Miller, Ken Calvert, Mary Bonomack, Dana Rona Rabacher, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, John Campbell, Daryl Issus, and Brian Bilbray. These are the guys, and it just happens that our guy Wally Herger is number one. So, with that, let's move on to the headlines. Okay. Headline one. S&P downgrades U.S. credit rating for the first time. So here we go. We talk about the downgrade of the credit. You know, the whole precept of raising the debt was to avoid a catastrophe. Well, we're going to get a catastrophe anyway, because if you keep raising the debt, sooner or later we're going to have to default, because interest rates will go up when they can't sell their bonds anymore, and that's inevitable. So, anyway, that's kind of what the latest headline is, and we all are starting to see the ramifications of that. And we've got our guest on line one, so we're going to be getting to him in just a second here. And so, you know, the thing is that, you know, now they're trying to blame the Tea Party for this problem. Can you believe that? Yeah, like the Tea Party has been in existence for 2 years here or whatever, and they created this $14 trillion debt, right? Okay, we're the ones that are trying to stop the $14 trillion debt, and so how did we create that? Oh, we created the problem by, you know, trying to keep them from raising the debt ceiling and spending more. You got to be pretty naive to buy that one. So, it's going to be a problem. I think the markets are going to start rolling over. It looks like the world markets are rolling over. U.S. futures are already down over 200 points. They almost broke a record. And gold and silver are starting to make another big move to the upside. So, you know, it's not looking pretty good here. I think we're going to have a problem regardless of whether they had stopped this or not. And now to try blaming it. Have you noticed that these guys cannot seem to take any personal responsibility for anything? It's never their fault. It's the Republicans. It's the Democrats. Democrats. You know, I mean, it's the Republicrats. Let's say what it really is. They both voted for this bill. They both have sucked this thing into the chasm of monetary abyss, and now they're going to try to tell everybody else it's their fault. Give me a break. So, if you can't tell, I'm just a little bit on edge tonight over this deal because I think we're going to start paying the piper here pretty soon. So, with that, I think do we have a break that we're going to right now? We'll be back right after the break. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Raley's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
Everywhere around the world. If you're concerned about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, then join Elizabeth and Aaron on Sunday mornings for We the People, 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our expert guests cover everything from private property rights to how our local government can impact your life. Don't miss out on the wealth of knowledge on We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. America.
Hey, Linda, let's head on down to Espresso Joe's. They've got the best coffee for the best prices, and I'm in the mood.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And their special this month is dark mocha. My favorite.
You know, the cost of coffee is on the rise again, too. You know, I want to pick up a couple of pounds for our supply. I want to get some of the Colombia Supremo, my favorite.
Okay, let's go to Espresso Joe's. Fun place, great coffee, and really nice people. Espresso Joe's, 2143 Hilltop, where you get more Joe.
Some folks are born, made to wave the flag. Ooh, the red, white, and blue.
We're back with Sovereign Minds Radio. This is 1460 KCNR. I think we've got our guest on the line, and Fred Kelly Grant from the Trademark America. And you know, are you on the line there, Fred?
I am. How are you this evening?
Hey, you know, the fun never stops. How about you?
You're right. The fun never stops. I had a 3-day hearing in Denver this past week for several of my clients in Colorado that made the mistake of taking out a conservation easement, donating a conservation easement on their place, only to have the federal government and the state government pull the rug out from under them. And now they're facing more back taxes than their property's worth. And they can't sell the property or any part of it because of the easement on top of it.
Well,
so
you know,
it really does never stop.
You know that old saying, we're from the government and we're here to help. You know, there's really something to that.
Well, it is. I remember seeing a sign in New Orleans. I was there just, maybe 5 or 6 weeks after Katrina. And there was a bumper sticker and a shirt that you could buy. I should have bought it. It said, what do you do when FEMA says we're here to help? And the answer was run. That's just about the truth.
Yeah, you know, anytime they pass a bill or say an agency is something to help, you know, whether it's the Environmental Protection Agency or, you know, it's not, you know, it should be the environmental, you know, violation agency, you know. I mean, anything they say they're going to do is almost exactly the opposite of what it ends up being.
You know, this weekend I left, it came up suddenly, Herman Cain, through his chief fundraiser Mark Block from Wisconsin asked me to come to Portland to meet with him, and so I left Denver kind of suddenly as soon as the hearing was over and went up, and I spent time with him this weekend and explained to him how all these regulations, not just EPA but BLM, Forest Service, Fish and Wildlife, were killing us in the western states. And he committed to me, and then he told the group that he spoke to the next day that if he were elected, the first thing he would do is put somebody in charge of rescinding regulations for those agencies.
Wow.
And, you know, that's what has to happen. Changing a president doesn't change anything. You've got to get to those embedded bureaucrats, and you've got to get to the regulations that they impose and that they implement, and that's where we're getting killed.
Yeah. Well, listen, before we go too far, I kind of wanted you to give us a little bit of your background and some of your credentials, Fred, so that these people know that you actually sort of know what you're talking about.
Well, all right. I went to the University of Chicago Law School, and I really came out interested in constitutional law. But I was primarily interested in being a criminal lawyer, so I went to Baltimore through an opportunity that I had there to go into the U.S. Attorney's Office. I was an assistant United States attorney. And then I went from there to the state's attorney's office, which is typical of a district attorney in California. And I was chief of the organized crime division there. And then after a few years there, I left and went out and started defending the people that I'd been trying to put away. Came back to Idaho when my oldest son was ready to start to school. My wife wanted him to start school in Idaho where she went to school. And so we came back, and I was counsel to two governors, Governor Cecil Anderson and John Evans. Then I set up research divisions for the courts, and I stayed in political law until I started helping again in death penalty cases. And I did that until about 18 years ago when a few of my rancher friends in Owyhee County, Idaho, were facing going out of business. The BLM was ready to reduce their grazing by 40%, and that's when I found the coordination process that exists in federal statutes that allows local government to defend its people by forcing the federal agencies to the table to negotiate with them on an equal basis in order to reach consistency with local policy. And pretty much I've done that since. I worked with American Stewards of Liberty. I was president, and prior to that, president of Stewards of the Range. And then a few months ago, we formed Trademark America to take on bigger projects and not just defend anymore, but take on projects where we go after the agencies to try to force them to go back to what they're supposed to do under the statutes, and that's to manage the forests and manage the lands in a way that helps the economy.
So what you're telling me is this isn't your first rodeo.
That's right, yeah.
You've been at this for a while.
I've taken some falls, and I've ridden to the whistle sometimes. Most times, fortunately, I've ridden to the whistle.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Trademark America and some of its goals. What is Trademark America trying to do? What's the end game?
The end game is to find enough... The end game is to restore as many places as we can the traditional economy of rural western counties. And frankly, if we can do it, rural counties all over the country, because we're convinced that the government agencies really are out to destroy agriculture, and it's just abundantly clear that that's so if you look at the facts of the last 8 years. And so one step to that is to train enough people in the strategy of coordination and other elements of the 10th Amendment that they can go out. You know, I'm 75, and my daughter-in-law Stacy and my son John are fully capable of doing this work now, but we need 11 or 12 people in the field in the various resource areas. The various counties of California, Southern Oregon, Idaho, Montana, who can do this work. It doesn't take a lawyer to do it. It just takes somebody that will take the time to learn the strategy and learn how to stay ahead of the agencies. So our ultimate goal is to help people use the 10th Amendment to get back our traditional economy and protect our private property and personal rights.
That's interesting stuff. I mean, and this coordination process is about implementing the 10th Amendment to get back the rights to the states that the federal government has basically usurped over the last 100 years.
That's right. If you the 10th Amendment reserves those rights that weren't given to the federal government specifically in the contract to the states or to the people. Now, the people, I've always believed and argued that it meant local government as well as the people. The Supreme Court of the United States just about 2 or 3 months ago finally for the first time said that an individual person or a group of persons have the right to exercise the 10th Amendment power. And coordination is just one of those elements.
You know,
there are many other elements that can be used.
You know, I was my brother's actually an attorney, and you know, I had to throw that out there, not because I like attorneys or anything, present company accepted, but we're always doing battle about the supremacy clause. You know, he's always telling me, oh, the supremacy clause, you know, the supremacy clause in the Constitution overrides you know, the 10th Amendment, basically. What do you think
that? No, that's not true at all. What the Supremacy Clause says is that this Constitution and any law made pursuant thereto is the supreme law of the land. The 10th Amendment is part of the Constitution. It is the supreme law of the land.
So the Supremacy Clause only applies if it doesn't circumvent any of the other parts of the Constitution.
Well, the Supremacy Clause says this, that any federal law that is made pursuant to any part of the Constitution, in other words, any constitutional federal law, and any part of the Constitution itself, is the supreme law of the land. The coordination process is included in federal statutes that have been held constitutional. So the Supremacy Clause says coordination will be applied by the federal agencies.
Is that, and that's the, I was going to say, and that's, and isn't that USC 43:17-12? I wanted to make sure I got that cite right. I'm pretty sure it's 17:12.
It's 17:12, 43 USC 17:12.
And that describes the coordination process. And I wanted to kind of get that out there a little bit. So if anybody wanted to look this up, they could you know, go see that this is actually in the law books.
They can, and they also can. They can contact our website. We have workbooks that have all those statutes in them, not just that one, but each of the statutes that includes coordination. That one is the Federal Land Management Policy Act, or Policy Management Act, I guess, FLIPMA. It's also in the Forest Management Act. It's in Homeland Security. It's in many other statutes that affect, for example, your sheriff. The sheriff of the county has the coordination authority, with or without the Board of Supervisors.
Wow. That's pretty big, because, you know, when you really understand what you just said, it means that we can actually start to implement a coordination process to keep the governing agencies from taking our property rights, our water rights, our mining rights, our forestry rights. All of those things are subject to these, you know, millions of regulations that seem to be more concerned with taking our rights away than actually preserving them.
And the regulations are not covered, they are not protected by the Supremacy Clause. A week ago, I had a workshop in Grants Pass, Oregon, and there were 12 sheriffs there, 8 from California and 4 from Southern Oregon. And at the end of that day, they all went out determined to tell the Forest Service to stand down and that they weren't going to close any more roads in their counties. 3 of them have already done that, Sheriff Gilbertson and Josephine, Sheriff Lopi in Siskiyou, and Sheriff Wilson in Del Norte County. And now I've seen 3 or 4 more letters that have been drafted, and each of those sheriffs agreed that they were going to go back, tell the Forest Service to stand down, and also to begin, try to force them to begin to allow logging again, because of the fact that the sheriff's ability to protect the public safety is hurt when funding is not available.
Hmm.
And funding, frankly, in Northern California is not available because logging was ended.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the chicken or the egg thing. You know, I mean, if you kill the logging and there's no revenue to pay for any of the services.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I'm going to, I spoke to the sheriffs for constitutional law, the constitutional authority of the sheriff. I spoke to that organization this weekend. I'm going to be working with them. That's the one that Sheriff Mack helped organize. I think I'm going to be speaking to the Northern Sheriffs Association of California in September. these sheriffs are ready to go, and once they understand their authority, they are not afraid to use it.
So that sounds...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry that, you know, we're running into a break here pretty quick within about 30 seconds or so. And then when we come back, I kind of wanted you to give us an update on the local scene like you were just starting to, and let us know what our local sheriff is doing and what's happening here in our area so that we can get this process implemented here as well as, you know, Oregon and Siskiyou County and so forth. So with that, we're going to go to a break right now. And so this is KCNR 1460 Sovereign Minds Radio.
Free fire.
Hi, I'm Robert from Music by Robert. Getting married? Having a special party, birthday, or anniversary? Let me take it from ordinary to extraordinary. A huge music library, the latest state-of-the-art equipment, and lighting that will dazzle you. You know it's a real celebration when you hire Music by Robert. Call 347-4500. Remember, when only the best will do, it's Music by Robert. Call 347-4500 and let's celebrate.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Chester County Veteran Service Officer. If you're the surviving spouse of a war-era veteran, you may be eligible for a pension from the Department of Veterans Affairs. This is sometimes known as the widow's pension. The benefit is designed to provide assistance for a surviving spouse with limited income and significant out-of-pocket, unreimbursed medical expenses. There are many individuals, businesses, and organizations which advertise that they assist with obtaining these kinds of benefits. Please be sure of two things before accepting assistance. Number one, be sure whomever provides your assistance is accredited by the VA. And number two, you should never have to pay for assistance in obtaining your VA benefits. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited and there is never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Hey Linda, let's head on down to Espresso Joe's. They've got the best coffee for the best prices, and I'm in the mood.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And their special this month is dark mocha. My favorite.
You know, the cost of coffee is on the rise again, too. You know, I want to pick up a couple of pounds for our supply. I want to get some of the Colombia Supremo, my favorite.
Okay, let's go to Espresso Joe's. Fun place, great coffee, and really nice people. Espresso Joe's, 2143 Hilltop, where you get more Joe.
Welcome back. This is Sovereign Minds Radio, and yeah, I think we got a bad moon horizon, all right.
Just wait till the stock market opens up tomorrow. I think we're going to see some real problems here, and I've been saying it all along. I mean, looks like gold and silver are starting to take a little bit of a jump here, and you know, before we get back to Fred, I just wanted to read, we got another headline here. You know, shockwave coming, golden currency baskets to substitute the dollar, and part of this headline is dollar to be discarded by the world China rating agency, and that's from CSNBC and RT.com. So it looks like we might be in for some fireworks tomorrow. Fred, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm very interested in reading in the New York Times this morning. China's denunciation of the United States financial policy.
Yeah, it's a pretty, gosh, I mean, talk about a turn of events. Here we've got a communist country telling us how we're so messed up financially.
they're really worried about buying any more treasury bonds, and yet they have to because that keeps their growth going.
Yeah, the problem is that there's going to be the interest rates are going to rise here sooner or later, or we're just going to keep printing and we, you know, have a hyperinflation. I mean, I don't think the way the trends are going that they're going to even slow down. They're already talking about having the summit in Jackson Hole here with Bernanke and company, and you know, just like last year, it was the QE2. Well, now we're getting ready for QE3. So, and it sounds like
it's not going to get better before it gets worse.
I agree. I think that this is going to be the best thing that's happened in 100 years after the end of it. But right now, like I say, a bad moon is rising. So, yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the coordination here. And I had somebody on the chat room wanted to ask if you knew anything about Missy MacArthur's interest in the coordination process. It seems that she had sparked some interest at the last meeting that I was unable to attend, by the way. So maybe you could kind of give us an update on that before we go on to all the rest of the local stuff.
You know, when I was there, I was on a radio show that she was guest hosting, and I explained coordination, and she told me that she was very interested in it from the city standpoint, from the city of Reading. And so I told her that I would get her information about it, and I know that there were some people who were going to go, and when she put it on the agenda, I haven't had a chance since, but I am going to get her information off tomorrow. But, you know, she was in contact with people there who know how it works. And so if she has said that, I know she said it to me that day after the radio show, that she was very interested in having the city council at least consider doing it as a city.
Well,
and it doesn't really matter. Any local government can do it. The city, a town, a district, a school district, it doesn't have to be the county if the county's is not doing it or doing it effectively.
Have you talked to any of the other city council members and got any kind of a feedback from them as to their knowledge or interest in this process?
No, I haven't. That was done right after that radio show, and that day I was leaving for further north in California, and so I did not. I haven't talked with any of them.
Well, I think I'm going to try to make it a point to talk to Patrick Jones and Bassetti and at least to those two. I know I've talked to them before, and I know Patrick is a pretty nice guy. I consider him a friend. And
I know that it would help the city. The city, the city is just as impacted by the forest and the refusal of the forest to log and so on as is the county. The county is the ideal agency sometimes because it includes everything. But often throughout the country, you have a board of supervisors that either won't do it or doesn't do it effectively. And in that case, then we have school districts, irrigation districts, and towns and cities that do it. It was the towns that did that stopped the Trans-Texas corridor. It was four little towns, total population 6,000.
Well, I completely see how that would be effective in the local city because, you know, if there's no jobs and out there, there's no logging, there's no fishing, there's no use of the forest for whatever purposes. You know, that's got to affect the local economy here. I mean, look at Trinity and Weaverville over there. I mean, the only thing that's keeping that whole county alive, I think, right now is pot growing. I mean, the industry is just about non-existent over there.
And from a recreation standpoint, you know, the off-road vehicles, there's a huge, huge number of those folks around Reading and in Shasta County who were promoting coordination with the Board of Supervisors. And they affect Reading significantly because of the economic impact that they have.
Yeah, it seems to me. Oh, go ahead, Fred.
When they can use the roads in the forest, when they can recreate with their off-road vehicles, it means more purchases in the Reading area.
Well, you know, it seems to me that all of these local politicians need to get on board. I mean, I don't know exactly where our sheriff stands, Tom Basanko. I like Tom. I think he's a great guy.
Your sheriff is right along with Lopi of Siskiyou and Wilson of Del Norte, and I've forgotten the sheriff's name in Modoc, but your sheriff is right with them, absolutely.
Oh, that's great to know because you know we need those guys to really stand up here and let it be known that they're for this process so that we can get some of our economy back on track. And same for the Board of Supervisors. I haven't heard really a lot of good things. It seemed like it started out in the beginning, you know, a year or so ago at the Forest Service rally over there on by the airport that these guys were all over this stuff, and then all of a sudden it just kind of faded out. You know, what's going on with those guys?
I don't really know. We won a big victory, and the county that started me into the process was Shasta, paid for by Sylvia Milligan's Rock Crowd. That's the organization, the coalition of off-road vehicle people. They paid the expenses, and they paid for me to go to D.C. and win the battle and get the chief of the Forest Service to tell the regional forester, Randy Moore, to tell the forest supervisors that they had to follow the Forest Service rules in coordinating. And the last I heard, and I hear this only from the off-road vehicle people, is that the supervisors, after getting that big victory, decided that all they really wanted from the forest to be kept open were the roads that the county maintained. And that still eliminates camping. It eliminates going off-road or trail to collect game. It restricts use for fire and search and rescue. So, you know, with victory in their mouth, they accepted, well, let's put it this way, very limited victory. Siskiyou County's going after the whole ball of wax, so's Del Norte County, and Modoc County has.
So what you're telling me is they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
That's the way I look at it, yeah. They had the whole thing. They had the whole ball of wax and let it slip by.
So it sounds to me like we need
sheriff,
to put some...
But the sheriff has insisted that he's going to tell the forest that they will not close any road unless he says that the public safety can be served with the road closed.
Well, it sounds to me like we need to put some pressure at the ballot box with some of these supervisors then, because it doesn't sound like they're acting in the people's best interest. And I think people need to know out there how much this is going to affect everybody. If we get the Forest Service shuts down all the roads, there goes hunting, there goes fishing, there goes hiking. I mean, there's a lot of things that this thing can stop, because, you know, hiking, for example, if you got a road that, you know, it's 10 miles to get to where you're going to start hiking, you know, that's 10 miles of road you got to hike if they close it. So it's this could have a lot of impact on a lot of people as far as the land use. And then have you got any workshops coming up that maybe is the sheriff going to be involved in some of those locally? Or what's the news on that front?
You know, I can't remember. I'm really sorry. I'm so tired tonight. I can't remember whether he was in Grants Pass. I think he was not. But Lopi of Siskiyou said that, I'm sure that's right. There was something else that kept him from being there, but Lopi was going to take back everything to him. And Sheriff Lopi of Siskiyou assured me that your sheriff was firmly with them, and that he was going to take the position that to the Forest Service, you will not close down a road unless I say that the public safety can be served, regardless of what the Board of Supervisors might have said.
Well, maybe what I could do is I can get, I'll make a call and see if I can get Tom on the show here, and, you know, maybe he can explain to us, you know, what he's doing and where he's going and, you know, the impact that he's going to start having in this particular coordination process, so that we can get a better or a clearer vision of where we're going and force some of these guys' feet to the fire over there at the Board of Supervisors to start paying attention to this land use.
Well, I'll tell you that if the sheriff, and apparently he is, with the sheriff committed, and then if Redding City comes on board, you will have more than adequate firepower against the Forest Service. The sheriff himself is perhaps the most formidable official in the county because of Homeland Security, because of the fact that he's in charge of the public safety, health, and welfare as the primary law officer in the county.
Well, that sounds like, you know, the founding fathers, when they set everything up, it sounds like they did that with that purpose in mind, so that we would actually have an elected official with power to keep it at the local level, so we wouldn't be overrun by the federal government.
That goes clear back to the beginning of time, too. The sheriff was always constitutionally, frankly, the most important elected official in a county. In the South, where I was born and raised a good part of my young life, my great uncle was the High Sheriff of Darlington County in South Carolina. And I'll tell you that people knew, I mean, the respect you saw for the sheriff, and that was true, you know, as you watch Western history on TV and so on, you can see the truth there. It's just that for so long, sheriffs lost track of that, but now they're getting it back. We've got sheriffs in office now who not only understand their authority, but have the guts to use it.
I guess that gives...
One of the workshops that will be coming up is one that Sheriff Lopey has asked me if I can go to for the Northern California Sheriff's Association in September.
Well, that sounds great. You know, that kind of makes me think, you know, when you see all these old movies and stuff, you know, that gives new meaning to the phrase, you know, there's a new sheriff in town, boy.
That's right. That's exactly right. I think you've got a whole group of them in Northern California and Southern Oregon now.
Now, that's great, because we need to take the power back and get this federal government over-regulation out of the marketplace, because they're just, you know, killing us. I mean, we're dying on the vine out here, and it's not going to get any better till we get these guys out of the picture. So, you know, we've got to go to a break here. This is, you know, I think we got about 10 seconds or so. But, you know, this is 1460 KCNR Free Fire Media, Sovereign Mind Radio. We'll be right back with Fred Kelly Grant here in just a second.
Concerned about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, then join Elizabeth and Aaron on Sunday mornings for We the People, 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our expert guests cover everything from private property rights to how our local government can impact your life. Don't miss out on the wealth of knowledge on We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. America.
Is something in your life challenging you? Do you have the motivation to create a change? Where does that come from? What inspires you? I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, your host for the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, streaming live from KCNR1460.com. And I'm always working hard to find that one motivating piece of information to help you make the changes you so desire. Wake up to your life. Tune in to the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, 11 to noon. We talk about everything important: your health, thoughts, beliefs, relationships, sex, love, struggles, and triumphs. Nothing is off limits. Your stories are welcomed. Every Saturday, 11 to noon, the Conscious Living Show, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Do you need more get up and go? Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice in Reading for nearly 20 years. Listen to my radio show at 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday mornings. It's called Positively Healthy, the same name as my monthly column in the Record Searchlight. My show is sponsored by East Earth Tradewinds and the Lazy 69 Ranch.
This is Sovereign Mind Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, and this is the home of Free Fire Media. We're here with our special guest, Fred Kelly Grant from the Trademark America. I don't know, is that a corporation or is that a nonprofit, Fred?
It's a 501c3. It's a nonprofit, so donations are tax deductible.
Oh, very good.
And we set it up that way so that that people who wanted to donate to help us make good on these progressive programs that we're putting in, rather than just defending, could get a tax break at the same time, because Lord knows you need all those that you can get.
Well, that's good. If these, if anybody wanted to send you some money, I'm sure you'd take a check or a credit card payment or whatever. Where would they go?
To the website, www.trademarkamerica.org.
And what phone number would they want to call you to reach you at?
208-466-1545.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, I also have somebody on the chat line, Mike S. He wants me to ask you a question here, or Patty.
Okay.
I'm not sure who's asking the question, but they want me to ask you, what kind of power do the Forest Service cops have? I mean, as far as, you know, authority-wise, is it the same as a regular, you know, sheriff or a police officer?
No, it's not. The Forest Service personnel, as they call them, law enforcement personnel, have only regulatory authority within the forest. They have absolutely no law enforcement authority. As a matter of fact, let me give you an analogy to the Bureau of Land Management. Their rangers have no law enforcement authority, and our sheriff in Owyhee County, Idaho, put forth a directive that no ranger could enforce the law in Owyhee County in any way off of the public lands unless he was deputized by the sheriff. And he deputized two of the four, but the other two he said, I will not have them as deputies. He then set the rule that any time one of those deputies or one of those rangers came into the county to do anything, even on the public lands, he had to check in with the sheriff. Now, we took that all the way to Washington, and the solicitor's office told their rangers they had to do that. The federal, those unless you're with the FBI or one of the specific federal law enforcement agencies, those people have no law enforcement authority. All they can do is enforce and cite on the forest, in the forest, for a specific Forest Service regulation violation.
So they can't really arrest you. I mean, is that what you're saying? Or
they can't arrest you unless if they came upon you committing a felony in the forest, they could make an arrest.
I see.
Otherwise, they're supposed to only cite you.
Well, and, so you would tell them that then.
Pardon?
You would tell them that if they, you know, how would you approach that? Just, you know, take the citation and then go to court, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that'd
that's
be
right.
About it.
I don't ever, frankly, I don't ever advise anybody to confront openly a guy in a uniform who thinks he can arrest you.
Especially if he has a gun.
That's exactly right, because you just don't know what he's going to do. I told my boys from the time they were young, you don't resist an officer because you could end up losing your life in it, and whether it was right or wrong, you'd be dead.
So this applies to fish and game, Forest Service, all the above?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. If there's a place for you to make your argument after the fact, there's a place where you can make it. You can make it to your sheriff. You can make it in court. And inside the forest is not a place to make it.
Interesting stuff. Well, what else can you tell me about the coordination process that we haven't talked about? You know, what makes it so important? Why should everybody be really concerned, I guess?
Well, because of the fact that our success with local government has shown that if the coordination process is used, you can do things. In Modoc County, for example, where they've been doing it for 15 years, they've been in the process. They have gone from 0 board feet per year being logged to 18 million board feet.
Wow.
Now, that kind of increase has not happened anywhere in any other county in Northern California. In fact, there haven't been increases in any other counties in California. And the coordination process put Modoc County in the position where they could negotiate with the Forest Service toward getting some of those contracts restored, and going from 0 to 18 million board feet is a pretty good success for that county. It is not even as forested a county as Shasta, Siskiyou, and Del Norte, and yet they had that tremendous victory there.
So they might actually have a few more jobs up there now.
Well, they do, and that's why we're working in Siskiyou County. Our board of directors took on as their first project to work across the board in Siskiyou County to work to retain the dams and prevent their destruction on the Klamath Basin, to try to force logging back into the upland forests in order to increase the water supply. We have experts who tell us, and it's been proven, that when you log the forest, the water from the watershed, the water that results from the logging, will be plenty sufficient to make up for the problem that the environmentalists say that exists with the fish. For Siskiyou County in that project, we will petition to delist the spotted owl, petition to delist the coho salmon.
It's because it's all based on bad science, is what I've understood, too. I mean, it's just like the pulling out the dams out there. I mean, it's going to kill more fish pulling the dams out than it is leaving them, is my understanding.
When we were, when my son John and I were in Grants Pass, Sheriff Gilbertson and Sheriff Lopey from Siskiyou, and we went to the river there, and we saw demonstrations of magnets being put into the water and coming out covered with black gooey gump that represents heavy metals that came from the silt behind the two dams that were taken out on the Rogue River. Those all that silt that's behind these dams contains heavy metals and toxins that killed the salmon, killed all the fish in that Rogue River once those dams came out. And to this day, there is all you have to do is put that magnet down in the water and you bring out just a load of that gunk. They've had it analyzed. It contains 42% iron. It contains 0.399% chromium, which is way higher than existed with the Pacific case that, became famous, the paralegal down in Southern California, Aaron Brockovich.
Oh, right. I remember now.
It is nearly three times higher than the percentage of chromium that was causing all of the cancer down there.
So that's not good for fishing.
Well, it's not good for fishing, and it's not good for human health. And so, consequently, the argument that the dams are to be destroyed in order to save the fish just doesn't hold water. It doesn't. When you really get down to it, as the folks in Siskiyou are doing with our help, it's all a money situation. The first year after the dams are out, there's $41 million that will be paid to environmental groups and tribes for restoration projects. And each year for 16 years after that, $96 million a year for those kind of restorations. At a time when we don't have jobs, we don't have an economy that's sound, and they have committed to that kind of money for restoration that would be made necessary only because the dams are being taken out.
And the insanity continues.
That's what it is.
Yeah, the insanity continues, and these guys just can't stop spending no matter what is going on. It just gets worse and worse. So, listen.
And when you have the environmental groups looking for that money, they're going to get it.
Well, listen, Fred, I could talk to you all night here, and maybe we'll sit down and have a beer here one of these evenings when you're in town and go over some more of this stuff. But
anytime.
Mark. I totally appreciate you coming on, Fred, and I want to, give you kudos for what you're trying to do and what Trademark America is all about, and I really want to thank you for coming on as a guest. So
we'll keep you up to date as we move through Siskiyou County.
All right, very good, Fred. Well, thanks a lot. I totally appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Okay. I want to thank Chandler as well for operating the board so professionally tonight, and I want everybody to be encouraged to go to ReadingTeaParty.com, and I think it's actually been changed to 24HourPatriots.com now, and it meets every Monday night at the Bonneview Baptist Church at 2570 South Bonneview, which is now Destiny Fellowship. I encourage you, listen to We the People Radio on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. and Sovereign Minds every Sunday evening, 6 to 7. And, get to a tea party near you. You can make a difference. One man can be a powerful thing if he's got a lot of, energy and drive and passion for something. You know, what's the solution to all this is being prepared. You know, how you need to start becoming more self-reliant. You need to educate yourself on the issues. Call up your representatives, whoever they are and wherever you're at, and get them to tell you how they stand on the issues. Put together a 72-hour emergency bag for each family member. Store food. Buy silver until they run out of gold. And even if you don't have much money, just buy a coin a week. Every chance you get from any local coin dealer, get some silver. You know, because we know that the dollar is going to collapse. You know, get out of the stock market. I mean, it's starting to downtrend. Start a neighborhood watch program. For more information, you can call Reading at 225-4209 and leave a message. And Mike Leonard said he'll get back to you. In Anderson, call 378-6600. In Shasta County, call and talk to Arnie Britton. He's a volunteer coordinator for the Sheriff's Office at 347-5903. You can also go to Reading.com and see the article that was on the Neighborhood Watch today, and there was a video there that might be helpful. Next week, our guest will be Mike and Patty Smith, and they will be coming on and talking to us about Big Dog Music Mafia and showing us some of the songs that they've got going on. I'm going to end with a couple of quotes. I've got about a minute here. So, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it.
Let us not, I beseech you, sir, deceive ourselves. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. I think you all know who that was. I believe that was Patrick Henry. The next one I really like. The country has come to feel the same when Congress is in session as if when a baby gets a hold of a hammer. And that would be Will Rogers. So anyway, good night, and I'll see you all next week. And this is Sovereign Mind Radio at KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
It's rolling down tracks, once leading to somewhere, like a broken down train. The stones fall from heaven, in the road.